and it is worth reading this and praying over and then expounding on it. This, the title of the message is The Blessing of Creation. And I think I have to add a second title to it, The Gospel of Creation, The Good News of Creation. Genesis 1 and 2 both just drip with gospel, good news. And sometimes we live in creation, so we take creation for granted. But this is a blessing. God blessed us before we even came to be. He blessed us with this creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. And God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth to govern the day and night and to separate light from darkness. Notice how many times there's separation. God is separating, distinguishing, dividing. He is establishing one and the other. And that there's this separation. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the earth, fill the water and the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move across along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. We're not going to read into chapter 2, but it's the seventh day that God rests. Father, we pray that you would open our eyes and our ears and stop our tongues that we can give glory to you for this great account of creation. And we pray that you would minister to our hearts and show us what's on your heart for us today in this passage. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a good question, and you should know the answer. We just read the text. Where can you put creation in time? In the beginning. Yay. That's a $5,000 Monopoly money. But in the beginning. So if anybody ever says, well, when did creation happen? In the beginning. The great theme of Genesis 1 is beautiful because God, the Almighty God, the Eternal God, created all things. All things were created by His Word. He spoke them to be. And Genesis 1:1 leaves no room for apology, but it declares God created. In the beginning, God. God has always been. And this is where the Bible begins with the history of God, so to speak, is God is, and God always has been. He is the first cause of everything. In the beginning, God. There was nothing before Him, nothing beside Him. God alone. In the beginning, God. God created. That word create, or created, is the Hebrew word bara. Bara. I'm not exactly sure of where the tonation goes, but bara. B-A-R-A, and it's a great word, and it's unique in the Bible. Its usage in the Bible is exclusive to the creative work of God, and that God created everything that He created out of nothing. This word doesn't mean that He used things that were already here as though they too were eternal. There are many religions that see earth and matter and material as eternal. But the Bible tells us that God alone is eternal. These things that this matter and material God created by His Word. This word bara is exclusive. Its usage is exclusive to creating matter and material out of nothing. Ex nihilo. There was no matter in existence. There was no material in existence. God created both matter and material, out of nothing, out of thin air. But there wasn't even thin air. God created everything. And this is how Genesis 1 begins. In the beginning, God made matter and material out of nothing. God, who is the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth, the God, the eternal God, made, created, bara. I got to get that right. God created, when God created matter and material, here's though where He allowed it to be. Look at verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. When God created both matter and material, it was tohu bohu. I like that. That's a fun word to say. Can you say it? Tohu bohu. Formless and empty. God created matter and material, but it was in this. It was tohu bohu, formless and empty. Everything God creates, the Bible tells us, is created perfect. But when He created matter and material, as we see, it was tohu bohu. It was formless and void what God had made. And so I'm thinking it must have been at this point, I don't know how long it took, but there's this gradual transformation. A regeneration of sorts takes place when this matter and material that God is responsible for, He created, it's tohu bohu, it's formless, it's empty for a purpose. I think that we can see the gospel in this. We'll try to unlock this and unfold this as we go through. But darkness covered everything. At this point, there was no light. Tohu bohu and darkness covered everything. All matter and materials mixed together. There was no form. It was void or it was empty and formless. Tohu bohu. But then we read in verse 2, it goes on to say, and the Spirit of God was hovering or brooding over the waters. The word, we might use the word moved. The Spirit of God moved over the waters. The intentional work of God began. The Spirit personally began working to form what was created and to make it and to create an earth, a universe suitable for man's habitation at least. But the Spirit of God began moving over the waters, began making and creating, forming and shaping the matter and material that at this point was tohu bohu into something beautiful and orderly. And to this day, that which was once formless and void, when God put his hand to it and gave it form and function, it is beautiful and it is orderly. All the universe has an order. It's no longer chaos. God moved. The Spirit of God moved on the water. Everything that God had created out of nothing, that was tohu bohu, until the Spirit moved upon it, and it formed a beauty. The Spirit formed a beauty out of the chaos. I think that's spectacular. It's just the finger of God at work, so to speak. And before the Spirit of God moves on an individual, before the Spirit of God ever moved on you, you would admit that the inner man, the inside of you, before the Spirit of God moved upon you, was tohu bohu, formless and empty. But when, by God's grace, the Spirit moves on any individual, on a person, there is regeneration. There is form and beauty created, a new man out of that which was dead, a new heart and a new spirit, just because God chose to do it. By grace he moved, and he gloriously changes an individual, just like we read in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. I think the gospel is seen immediately at the beginning of the Bible, and we see what God, the picture of it in creation, and how much more than the picture of it in the creation of a new heart and a new spirit. No one can know God until he graciously moves on that person. No, you can't know God. You could not know him until the Spirit of God moved upon you and worked a Genesis week out of the chaos of your own heart and your own life. I think that's a wonderful example, a wonderful picture right here, and something that was tohu bohu now being created. And we see the process occur. The how did God create? That's always a question. I think children would like to ask that question. Adults would like to ask the question, how did God do this? How did he create? Well, the scripture is very explicit here. We know how he did it. Does anyone care to take a guess? Or knowledgeable? I'm sure you know the answer. I heard it. He spoke, and God said. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, that's the key, by his word. This is how he created all things. If anyone ever asks you and challenges you, how did God do it? He spoke, and God said. 10 times in chapter 1, God said, and God said. When God spoke, exactly what he wanted happened. That which was according to his good pleasure and will occurred. And God said, the Hebrew reads, and God said, be light. Light was. And God said. And God said. David understood this, the creative power of the Word of God. He had to observe it. He had to know it, because in Psalm 33, verses 6 and 9, David writes, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke it, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The word of God, the creative power of the word of God. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus is in a city. There's a centurion that comes to him. His servant is very, very sick. He loves his servant a great deal, but he doesn't want to trouble Jesus. But more than that, he shows his faith in the Lord Jesus and his word. He says, "You don't need to come to my house. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed." The power of the word of God to heal. And Jesus spoke, and the servant was healed at that very hour. When Jesus speaks into your life, it is finished. The work he intends will be done. The word of God always brings blessing. The creation that God has made is a blessing. The regenerating work of God in the human heart is a blessing. When God speaks, there is blessing. Creation is God's first blessing. And from the very beginning, God spoke the blessing, and God multiplied blessing upon blessing upon blessing. So verse 3 begins, "And God said, be light. Light was." The Hebrew is explicit, because when we read ours, that little word, the words that we add to it, there, "let there be light," and "there was light." It says the same thing, but somehow it always didn't resonate to me as so quick as the Hebrew. Be light, light was. He spoke it, it occurred. And as mentioned, God said, "and God said" occurs 10 times in chapter 1 alone. "And God said," "and God said," "and God said," and it was always followed up with, "and it was so." And it was so. We see it in verse 3. We see it in verses throughout this chapter. But 9 more times God says, "and God," and the word says, "and God says." God speaks to us in Scripture. From Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation 22, God speaks. People want a word from God. They want to hear a sure word from God. But we can tell the world God has spoken. He has spoken at creation. He has spoken to us through the prophets. And he has given us a word in these last times, the scripture says, through his Son, Jesus Christ. And he speaks today through the church as we speak the word of God before a lost and dying world. John said of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the word of God in the flesh, he says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. He was with God in the beginning." He goes on in John 1:14, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Just like our Muslim brother, who's a Christian now, said, did Jesus Christ, did God become man? The answer is yes. Did the word of God become visible and in flesh? The answer is yes. In the person of Jesus Christ, God among us, God for mankind, for the saving of sinners who come to him through faith, those that he speaks his word when, "and God says." Well, Genesis chapter 1 from verses 6 on speaks of the other days of creation, day 3, day 4, day 5, and part of day 6. We're going to fast forward to the middle of day 6, or the second creative act in day 6. All these things were completed, days 1 through 5, and part of day 6. Creation was ready. The earth was ready. It was a perfect habitation, and God made man. He created him. Male and female, he made them. God's crown of creation is found here in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and following. Those words that God speaks. And by the way, the usage of the name of God here, where we just see God, it's Elohim. It's masculine plural, indicating it doesn't indicate a trinity, but we see that it says here, we understand something, verse 26, "Then God said, let us." The creative work of God, the work of the, we know now through biblical revelation, the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, "let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air." Let them rule. Let them govern. Give them the joy of rulership. Let them govern. And this is a beautiful part for us because man is the recipient of God's grace. Like no other part of his creation, man didn't cooperate in creation. What if man would have been made on the first day? It would not be good, would it? Pardon?
Maybe not even any air to breathe.
Probably not, right? But there's one thing that would be a temptation, and that would be to take credit for it. That God made man last and put him in on the earth in the midst of his glorious creation as a gift. Creation is a gift for us. Creation was made for man. God prepared a place for his creation of man, male and female. Man was made, creation made for man, and I think it's also then the corollary, man was made for God. Not that God was in need, but made to worship, to enjoy God, to glorify him forever and ever and ever, to be amazed in the presence of a great and glorious God at his powerful works. Not that God needed to be filled up with assurance that he's great, but to share in his glory with his creation. And God made man particularly suited to enjoy him and to participate in glorifying God. And he gave this one work to govern God's creation. And that too is a gift from God. But even though man is God's greatest creation, his crowning glory, we might would say, there is a vast difference between God and man. God the creator, man the created. And God blessed them and gave them gifts. God needed no gift, but God gave created man a gift and blessed him. Blessed him with the gift of more image bearers. More that would look like and have the image stamped on them, or at least have this image, a soul type of image bearing of God, to have fellowship with God. And I think what's important in this is Adam was not God. Adam is not the son of God. He was a created man, but he serves as a type of God's greater man, God's perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the man who is God, is 100% God and 100% man in one person. The Muslims realize this who come to faith in him, and they marvel at this truth. Adam was created. Jesus Christ is not created. But Adam serves as a type. It was Jesus Christ who is the Son of God, who is always the eternal radiance of the glory of God, Hebrews chapter 1 tells us. The exact imprint of God's being. The one who sustains and governs and sovereignly rules over all things by his powerful word. Hebrews chapter 1. And Jesus Christ is a sovereign Lord of all creation and does not fail. Well, what do we learn from Genesis chapter 1? So many things and absolute beautiful truths. But first, and it's for our edification, there is a sovereign God. We live in a day and age when we're challenged as Christians to give a testimony. Testimony number one, we find it right here in Genesis chapter 1. There is a sovereign God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, and he created all things out of nothing. Now, the world won't readily accept that, but that is our testimony, and that is the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. No one will become a Christian or come to faith in Jesus Christ simply because we show them a lot of scientific facts about heaven and earth. The heavens and the earth. But when we declare the truth of God, the truth about God, the truth about man, and the truth about Jesus Christ, then the Spirit of God may be pleased to work in their heart, the person's heart, bringing them to faith in Jesus Christ. But Genesis reveals there's an eternal sovereign God. He is the creator of all things, and he created all things out of nothing. And he is a personal and all-powerful gracious God. Everything in Genesis chapter 1 speaks to this, of God's kindness, of His patience, of His beauty and majesty, of His blessing. Genesis chapter 1 is the most relevant for us, and it's relevant for humanity today. God brings order out of chaos. God brought order and beauty out of tohu bohu, something that was formless and empty. And it's God alone who brings the Genesis creation into the hearts of people who are tohu bohu, apart from the Spirit of God working. It is God who brings form and beauty to the human heart. And we as image bearers, even though we live in a fallen world, but having been born again, are messengers of this good news. That He who created beauty and form out of chaos can bring beauty and form out of the chaotic heart of a sinful person. Genesis 1 begins shedding light on something about the character and nature of God, that He is a redeeming God. That He makes right that which is wrong. When He separated light from darkness, it's a picture of redemption. To pull out light from the dark, to make light in the darkness, to let the darkness shine, to He separated the waters from the waters. And when He brings a person to faith in Jesus Christ by giving them a new heart, it is the great work of redemption to bring them out of slavery to sin into the wonderful light of God. We can't forget this. This is beautiful for us. Our redeeming God moves according to His grace, causing light to shine in our hearts, the hearts of His people. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says this better than I can. 2 Corinthians 4. Verses 4 through 6. You can see the chaos in verse 4. And then you see the separation by the Word of God in verses 5 and 6. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That same Genesis creation is what happens in the life of anyone who has believed. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been born again, it was God's creative work through as His Spirit moved, giving you new life, a new heart, and a new spirit, that you might know God and worship Him and glorify Him forever, both now and forevermore. And this is the blessing of His creation. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that as we think about Genesis 1 from here on out in our lives, that we would remember that it is a dramatic picture on a great universal scale of what You've done in the quiet of our hearts. As chaotic as creation was before You formed everything, our hearts are as chaotic as that, if not worse. We pray that You would always remind us of these things so that we can give glory to You and find our joy in You. Give us much grace today that we might reflect on these things and be glad. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.